We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, Funerals Past 5 p.m. Look, it's light out.
This is awesome.
It's 5:07 and it's light out.
Woohoo!
So much different.
One of my friends is so hates wintertime so much that she's posting a countdown until daylight savings time.
Mm.
And we're only like a month and a half away.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's not too bad.
Yeah, odd. First priest and rabbi we've done in quite a while, and no priest. So we brought in a minister. What'd you do with the priest, rabbi? Seems awfully odd that you're here and he's not. So.
They're not.
Okay.
Afterwards.
So we went to Wiggins. Is that right? This is what we're doing these days?
Yes. I asked if Ryan had any suggestions.
Oh, man. You've got an uphill battle here.
You do.
Yeah. Vince Hall, pastor of Christ City Church in Central West End. Nice to meet you.
You too.
Yeah.
Just totally glad to be here.
Introduce yourself to the audience.
Yeah. So Vince Hall, 35 years old, just a regular guy. Married, four kids, drive a minivan, and I'm also a full-time fifth and sixth grade teacher.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. How'd you get into the ministry?
11 years ago, I was working for A.G. Edwards in the financial industry. That's what I thought I wanted to do.
I am making too much money.
I got home from Iraq.
Uh-huh.
I was also a soldier, and I was like, what do I want to do with my life after 12 months in the desert? And so I went to A.G. Edwards and just absolutely hated it after about 9 months. Tired of getting cussed at. People are really frugal with their money, sensitive with their money, and I was like, I'm out. So basically the church I was going to in St. Louis 11 years ago, a pastor just said, hey, I think you're called to be in the ministry, and I think you know it, I know it, and that's basically where I am now.
Wow.
Yeah.
What if he was wrong?
Right. Isn't that how you got into radio, kind of?
It's pretty much.
That is pretty similar. Pretty,
I showed up and I'm like, look, I've had a calling. It's like, I need to do this. Yeah. So the headline is A.G. Edwards sucks. They're really mean and they curse at you. And
well, not the managers and things, but the people. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure. The clients.
Wasn't for you.
Yeah,
right. Same with me. Like when I was a lawyer, you just knew.
I just
this
knew.
Is not for me.
It wasn't for me.
Why do I struggle so much? I've known you forever, but it somehow seems wrong. You're like, so do Jews? It seems like so do Jews do this? Do Jews believe in a calling to become a rabbi? Or is it more of a just you decide I want this avocation?
I would think that people would say different things to that. I never had a calling to become a rabbi. I started to learn about Judaism, and it was very different than anything that I had learned growing up.
Remind me your upbringing.
So I grew up as a completely secular Jewish kid in Los Angeles, California, doing all the things that regular kids do in Southern California. And I came from a secular Jewish family that we celebrated Thanksgiving and stuff like that. And we didn't celebrate Jewish holidays at all. We didn't belong to a shul or a synagogue or anything like that. We were culturally kind of Jewish, which means we ate lox and bagels and stuff like that.
Were your parents agnostics or atheists? Or
My mother would probably say she was an agnostic. My father fled Hungary from the Nazis. So, he was, I think he believed in God and so forth, but he wasn't.
Not a practicing Jew.
In any way, right. And so,
Vince, can you top that? Fleeing Hungary from the Nazis?
I can't.
He was in Iraq.
I want to thank Vince for serving in our military.
So
my father did
appreciate
that, too. When he got to America,
nice.
He served in the U.S. Army. And so that's a nice thing to do. Mm-hmm. But so I eventually made it to Jerusalem to visit a friend of mine.
And this is how old?
I was about 22.
Okay.
And that was the first time that I had ever really discussed Judaism meaningfully with anybody. And I started to see how powerful this was.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw how much that the lessons of it impacted life. And Can I share one thing?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to take a minute or two, but okay. I sat down and I learned there's a one of our statements says in Ethics of Our Fathers. So it says, who's wealthy? Who is it that's wealthy? The one who's happy with his portion. Who is it that's wise? It's the person who learns from every man. Who is it that's strong? It's the one who can control his desires. Who is it that's honored? It's the one that honors all other men. And so what I realized from what that Mishnah was saying, what's teaching, is that everything people are running around trying to get is already inside you. And I found that statement more meaningful for my life than just about everything I had learned cumulatively up until then. Like, I learned Shakespeare, I learned all, and I'm not criticizing that. I'm just saying, for as far as being meaningful for life, mm-hmm. I was like, why don't I know this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you be wealthy? Be happy with what you have. You're wealthy. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to get more money. You want to be strong. You know, if you're Mike Tyson and you end up in jail because you do something illegal, it doesn't matter how much strength you have. So I realized these were such important lessons, and then I wanted to teach them to people like myself who didn't have the upbringing either, and I felt that I could communicate with them. I know where they come from and how they think.
Do you think, because even though I am an agnostic, I'm a student of religion, it seems to me, other than Islam, and I only set Islam to the side because I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've studied, in quotes, Buddhism and Taoism and, Confucius and things like that. Islam, I have not. And mm-hmm. it's been so tainted with, why you were in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
But the major religions, wouldn't you say that they have so much more in common? Obviously, you guys disagree on the Messiah. And, Buddhists and Taoists don't have a deity. Mm-hmm. But as far as those lessons, I mean, mm-hmm. they're the same core lessons across all the major religions.
Mm-hmm.
No major religion saying, like, you want to be happy, go out and get as much stuff as you can.
Right.
They're all saying the opposite.
Right. I mean, there's certainly shared things. And I think some of those things, a lot of the great insights, I think, that come from Judaism, many of them, a person might eventually stumble on. It says also in the Mishnah, it says that God so loved man that he gave him free will. But an even greater sign that he loves him is he told him that he has it. Some people spend their whole lives, or 60 years, not realizing that they're choosing.
Mm.
If you don't know you're choosing, you're not choosing.
Yeah.
And so so the point is that, a person might eventually come to that. They might. But so many of these deep lessons are things that if you know them when you're younger,
mm-hmm.
So many people, you and I know this in this country, they have so much and are miserable. So there's so many lessons that could help a person. The first thing that we say in the morning when we wake up in our prayer book is, it's the moment you open your eyes. You can't even do anything before you say this, is I'm thankful to be alive. Thank you, God, for returning my soul within me.
Mm-hmm.
A day is the most valuable commodity that we could ever have. At the end of a person's life, you cannot buy a day. No matter who, Bill Gates, doesn't matter who you are, there's no purchase price on a day. To waste one of those miserable when you didn't have to is the absolute worst loss that a person could take. And so is joy something that can be learned? Is simcha, do we have ideas on how to be joyous that a person can learn? Yeah. And so these lessons, it's true that many of them might even be things that a person might be able to figure out if given enough time.
And just because this is radio, you can't see it, the rabbi is looking right at and pointing at Sue. So, yeah.
I just looked miserable in the room. And,
I just want to say, when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I say is, thank you, Jesus, for coffee. That's like, where is it at? That's what I want.
Tony, what do you got?
Yeah, so we asked people on social media. You can go to the Dave Glover Facebook page. You can go to mine and Rachel's Twitter, at TonyColombo971, at RachelZ971. And people have been submitting some questions for the priest in the pastor.
Rabbi and pastor.
One of the rabbi and pastor, sorry.
Unless Shmuel's had a big change.
Yes, yes. This one says, so many Christians say, and I imagine, though, that it probably applies to both churches. I don't need to go, the idea of, I don't need to be in church every Sunday or every weekend because I have a good relationship with the Lord. I live a good life. I don't need to go.
Mark close rule.
I don't need to go to church every week. What is? Mm-hmm. What's your response to that?
I would agree. You don't have to go to church every week. I would also say that a congregation, a body of believers that think like you, that you know, have the same values as you, the same ideals as you, to be around them weekly is good. You know, I also believe in weekly rhythms, you know. So in, you know, the book of Acts, I'll bring in the Bible because I am a pastor. The book of Acts does talk about, you know, rhythms that we go through in Acts chapter 2. Like they broke bread together, meaning, and that could mean, you know, actually taking communion, or that can be something as simple as we actually sit around the table and we share meals and, you know, we might have a beer or two or some wine or whatever your drink of choice is, and we commune together. It talks about prayer and being together and lifting up one another and encouraging one another. It talks about, you know, being in awe of the of what God's doing in your life and sharing that with the people that you're around. Like, what's he done in your life that's awesome? What's he done in your life that's not so awesome? Let's talk about that too. And then there's also the teaching element of scripture, right? And people being together, learning under that umbrella. And so it's just, that's why I would say, sure, you don't have to go every week,
right,
but to have that rhythm of being together, I think, is really important.
Rabbi, is that something you guys hear?
Yeah, I just wanted to add to it. I think it's good points. I just wanted to add, though, that for one thing, I think it's sad when you hear people say things like, I don't have to be every week. Mm. You know, I always, and I've said this before, is I always view, I want to be there. You know, yeah, we should exactly. want to be there. It's we should feel like we missed out if we didn't get there that week, because, and one of the reasons I think we should miss out, feel like we missed out, is the one of the things that was said is community is such an important thing. And I think many people nowadays lack community. You know, you're not part community. I go to Shoal. I don't just go to get, I go to give, you know? And so you can be there and you can get, which you can be part of a community. You can pray together and you can learn together, but then there's, you can also teach, and you can also find out maybe there's somebody there that needs some help, or maybe if it's viewed as an opportunity and something that's, I want to be part of that. And I think we have to build, you know, like when I think of our, of the shul that I go to, the synagogue, we need to build a place that people want to be at, you know, not a place where I feel like, you know, I have an obligation to go, you know, sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, God takes roll twice a year. You know, that's we want to avoid that and kind of build a positive feeling about it.
And it's always, you know, kind of interesting. You get the text message like, Pastor, I'm not going to be there today. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, go do what you need to do. Like, I don't want you to feel like you are obligated to be here. Just, you know, like, see you next week.
So much of that, too, is probably upbringing.
For sure.
Because, you know, the classic is, you know, you were made to be in church every Sunday. If you were like a fundamentalist Christian, some Wednesdays and the whole bit. And then you grow up and you're like, well, I know what I'm not doing now. You know, I've had enough of that.
Yeah. And I think I can identify with that so much because I did not grow up in the church. You know, my parents might have said they were Catholic. We never went to Easter service. We never went to Christmas service or anything like that. And I was so far removed from anything religion.
Yeah.
Can I tell two funny stories?
Sure.
Real quick. So I was just so far removed from Christianity or anything religion at all. So middle school, with my buddies, and we're watching Ace Ventura. And there's this part where Ace is like jiggling the keys in the door to get the animals to go hide. And the landlord's behind him, and Ace says, you know, yes, Satan. And all my friends start laughing so loud, and I'm like, what's so funny? Who's Satan? And they're all looking at me like, are you serious, kid? Like, who's Satan? And, you know, that was kind of, I was just so far removed from anything religion. And then the other funny thing is there's a friend of mine in high school tried to get me to go to church all the time. I just wouldn't go. I would go every now and then to, you know, try to get a girlfriend or something, but that was about it. And they invited me to go to this DC Talk concert, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Well, in my head, I heard ZZ Top, not DC Talk. And so I'm like, yeah, let's go, you know, ZZ Top. And so I hop in the car.
Tons of chicks there.
Yeah, right, yeah. And by the time we're like halfway there, I was like, oh my gosh, we're not going to a ZZ Top concert. We're going to, like, that's just like how far removed I was. I just was so oblivious. And so, like, I hear this question, like, why do I have to go to church? Like, it's just like it is the Wednesdays and the Sundays and mm-hmm. all the things you got to do. And I just want to live life together. I just want to be a good community and a genuine family of believers.
Mm-hmm. But your parents would have said that they were Catholics?
Oh, yeah. I mean, mostly it was my grandma that was already in heaven looking after us.
Yeah, you know,
that was like the most of it.
My parents said that they were snake handlers, but I never saw them pick up a snake, so...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, Priest and the Rabbi, minus the priest, plus a pastor, Vince Hall, the pastor of Christ City Church in Central West End, is sitting in with us, and Rabbi Shmuel. Wow, Tony has dropped some knowledge on us.
Yeah, well,
Shmuel,
Twitter.
Sorry, not only were you wrong about Jesus, but he's already been here and left again.
So it wasn't me, it was Mo on Twitter. As I said, Rachel posted on Facebook and Twitter. So you can go to my Twitter, Rachel's Twitter, the show Facebook page. Send us your questions for the rabbi and or the pastor. And Mo on Twitter sent in, why doesn't anyone talk about Jesus' return in AD 70? And I had never heard of that and thought maybe I was just out of the loop.
I don't think so.
And but then at break, we were talking about it, and nobody here had heard of it either. But I looked it up, and it's certainly a thing.
Interesting.
There are many articles and discussion about whether the second coming actually happened in AD 70. I don't even know how to really explain it. But
yeah.
It has to do with the destruction of Jerusalem.
Yeah, 70
and,
AD. Yep,
yeah.
That's definitely true.
Yeah, it says, the coming of Christ in AD 70 is a perfect reflection of how God had come on the clouds in judgment of a wayward nation in the past. So
he came back angry at the Jews.
That's what it.
Yeah.
What that says.
What they're
yeah,
implying, basically. It's bad for your side.
Yeah. I would just say, Mo, nobody's talking about it because it's... Not,
first of
yeah,
many things
didn't happen.
Out there,
yeah, you guys have had it rough. No doubt about that. I saw it the other day.
Yeah, what a
speaking of
theory,
prophecy and scriptures. Did you see the thing? I'm guessing you saw the thing about the river running from Jerusalem into the Red Sea. No,
I didn't see that.
Oh wow, you're not a very good rabbi. So some
B-League.
In Ezekiel.
Yeah.
It talks about that, and it's very flowery, but it's that there will be a river that runs from Jerusalem into, I think it's the Red Sea, I could be wrong, and there was such a flood there last week, and it's so weird because it's just people, like one guy smoking, and the guy's there with his smartphone.
The Dead Sea.
And the Dead Sea, and then here comes like a big wash
of water.
And they said, oh, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like the red heifer stuff.
Right.
I find all that fascinating.
I mean, I find it fascinating. The thing with my approach to Judaism is, what is this? What? How do I behave?
You're a practical guy.
I am. And
yeah.
So it's interesting for me to see prophetic things occur, you know, and it's, I always point out to people, like, you know, that God said the Jewish people in Deuteronomy, the Jewish people would be spread all over the world. And then eventually return to Jerusalem, which is a ridiculous prediction to make. Right?
It's a good point.
You know, it's ridiculous. Like, if I were to ask you up front thousands of years ago, how about predicting that the Jewish people should be spread out literally all over the world?
Taking a gamble.
And then come back. And I always tell people, like, you know, what other people does that story fit into? Who else could, like, say, yeah, that's part of our story? And so, it to me, it's strengthening when I see these kinds of prophetic things.
But you're not one of those go down the rabbit hole.
I don't like that stuff because I think it leads to things that don't lead, they're rabbit holes.
Yeah,
I think it leads to things that don't, people doing nonsensical types of things.
Rather than trying to live their best life and be
exactly
the best
version of themselves. That's what I focus on more.
Rachel, got something over there?
Yes. This is a question from Raynon on Facebook, and I'm sorry if I said your name wrong, but it's a question for both of you. I would like to know your takes on spirits and ghosts in relation to the afterlife. I know what the Bible says, but some of the physical evidence is irrefutable. Even having experienced supernatural things myself, it really makes me wonder. Thanks.
Who wants ghosts first?
Yeah. Jump on.
Who wants to take that one first?
Our ghosts real and go.
Well, it kind of goes along with what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Prophecy isn't paranormal, but I've met several rabbis who are very much into the mysticism and Kabbalah and, you know, golems and things like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it could be that there are spiritual realities that are beyond me. There's a lot of things in this world I know that I've experienced that I can't explain. Mm-hmm.
Does Judaism believe in some sort of evil force, the way that Christianity talks about Satan, Lucifer?
The difference is Judaism believes in an evil force called the Yetzer Hara, but it's not broken away from God. In other words, the point, this world, the word for world in Hebrew is olam, and that the root of that word is hidden. This world is a place where God is hidden. If God were not hidden, we couldn't do anything wrong. There'd be no free will. And so we all have within us inclinations that we want to do the right thing and we want to sometimes do the wrong thing. I always tell people, you wake up in the morning and you have an argument with what we call your evil inclination. Your evil inclination says, you know, I think you're feeling sick. You should stay in bed today. And you're like, no, I should get up. I got stuff to do. I think your throat is feeling scratchy. I think you're tired. It would be wrong to get up. And you have this argument with yourself. So you're arguing with the part of you that wants, part of you wants to be the greatest person in the universe, and part of you wants to go to sleep. And so we believe there's an inclination that wants to, you know, it wants, sometimes you want, might steal something because you benefit from it. So that's what we believe.
But you don't believe in trickster demons who are following you around and trying to set you up and things like that?
No.
Okay.
You should talk to Andrew. Mm.
Yeah, that's true. Andrew thought he was possessed for a while. For real.
I can't say that there's no such thing.
Yeah.
I think Andrew probably isn't, but I don't. you guys seem unsure.
But,
we're fairly sure.
but what I mean is that that's, again, is that's not the regular. There could be such things. I can't deny the possibility you know, there could be spiritual
forces. We don't
have
a priest here, but obviously we know that it's more than ever now. The Catholic Church is recognizing exorcisms and things like that. So there's a part of Christianity that at least is recognizing some kind of paranormal belief.
Yeah, and so, I'll just kind of share like another story. I love sharing experiences. I think they speak a lot. But I don't know. Some years ago, I was in Guatemala. Guatemala on, you know, preaching in small churches in the mountains, a lot of voodoo in those areas. And I'm preaching in this church. It's got no windows, you know, no doors. It's pretty open. About 50 people in there. And this lady charges the pulpit. You know, she's about the size of Rach. And she is talking all kinds of crazy. This man voice comes out of her. A bunch of guys in the church tried to get her from charging the pulpit, and they can't. I mean, it takes six guys to just and I'm freaking out. Like, I'm like, I don't even know what's going on around here. You know, I'm just trying to preach God's word a little bit. And it was scary. And the voice that did come out of her, you know, was terrifying. And the guys trying to keep her down. And eventually she's just, you know, starts convulsing on the floor. And I was like, that's supernatural. Like, there's something spiritual going on there.
So you didn't think, like, this poor mentally ill woman is trying to get attention? And
Not at that point. Just because, like, I've never seen, you know, a lady the size of my wife hold off six guys.
Right.
And again, just the voice that came out of her.
Vince, as you know, because you listen to the show all the time, I'm sort of semi-obsessed with Bigfoot, and one of the big theories is about the Nephilim. And let's leave Bigfoot out of it, but let's just talk about the Nephilim, because I've heard so much about them through all that. Like, that's from the Torah, correct? What is
Nephilim,
your understanding of who these people were. I'll tell you what mine is. Like the classic is that angels mated with humans, and they made these giants and the men of renown, and I guess these abhorrent offspring, that they were a-holes and no one wanted them around, and perhaps they're still around in some way. What's the Jewish take on that?
I don't know exactly. I mean, it says that there were Nephilim, and it seems that they were, you know, very large, great, very powerful people. Again, exactly what they were, I don't know. You know, I don't like to engage in in storytelling that things I don't know for sure. But I do agree there are things here that are certainly inexplicable. There are things that I've seen in my life that are beyond. So I think there are. The Torah does also, the writings do talk about supernatural things. They talk about things like Dibuk or Mazikim. There are these forces, you know. But I think in our lives, for the most part, these things don't really play a role. It's interesting.
Do you believe back in the olden days when the first leaders of your church were trying to get people away from like Baal worship and things like that. Do you think that those were actual gods, actual personages, deities, or did someone just build a gold statue and call it something and it took off? Is God the only God?
God is the only God. That doesn't mean that there aren't other forces in the world. I think there was a power to idolatry, and that people were, it says in Talmud, there was a point where the desire for idolatry was destroyed. Otherwise, we would be very driven towards it. And so I believe these things did have a power, and there could be like a real force in it that attracted people, which doesn't exist. For us, for most of us today, the idea of like bowing down to like rocks or something like that seems ridiculous, or a river even.
Do you think that's why God performed miracles in the Old Testament? Because he was competing with some sort of forces that impressed people in that way, and the magicians of old and such?
The thing is like this. I mean, God, from our view, was also in control of those magicians, so to speak. So, like, for example, the 10 plagues. The point of the 10 plagues, if you look, and the simplest understanding of it is to show complete mastery over the whole world. Like you said, they believed the Nile River was God. God controlled the Nile River.
Mm.
Right? And so all of these deities that they believed in, all these powers that they believed in, the point of the 10 plagues was to show the world and the Jews that I'm in control of the sky, I'm in control of the land, I'm in control of the rivers.
Interesting.
These are all forces that are working together. And one of the main points, what's the big problem with idolatry? Why is that so bad? Idolatry makes the world meaningless. When you see God is unified and that everything in this world is working together, then the things that happen in this world mean something. When there's a bunch of forces fighting overhead, what it means is they're fighting overhead, and all these things that happen really have no meaning to them. And so that's
animals running
around. Yeah, so keep your head low, and hopefully the gods won't see you. You know, maybe you can get under the radar. And so the point of that was to show the world, no, there's a unity to this world, and the things that happen here matter here because there's one intelligence that's running this whole show.
Interesting. Tony?
I don't know if we have time to get this. Maybe I'll ask the question, and then we can talk about it, and that way you guys can think about the answer.
Right, right.
We've got a couple really good ones. Keep them coming. Again, Facebook and Twitter, submit your questions for the rabbi and the pastor. One person says people that are sort of anti-religion often make the case that all the wars that have been fought, I'm sure you guys have heard this,
yes.
All the wars that have been fought on earth are because of religion. So if religion goes away, then war goes away.
Stalin?
So I don't know if we have time.
You have 30 seconds each. Go.
Oh, man.
we'll take a break. Stalin and Hitler.
Answer it on the other side.
Yeah, we'll take a break. Quick break right back with more of the Priest and the Rabbi.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
A few minutes shy of 6 p.m. DGS. Priest and the Rabbi, we have Vince Hall, who's the pastor of the Christ City Church in the Central West End. Rabbi Shmuel, as always. Do you guys want to use one of those Twitter questions?
Did you want to quickly answer the wars and religion?
So basically every war ever fought was...
The person said, I'm sure you've heard it before, that some people who are anti-religion say every war is... been about religion, so get rid of religion and you get rid of war.
Yeah, you can't say every war, so we gotta cut that out of there right away. We talked in the break. Rabbi said money, absolutely, is a lot of wars. Land, ego, and, you know, Christians definitely have to own the times where, you know, there was times of war in history's past that we were responsible for, and we have to own that part. Like, there are some cruel things that people did in the name of Christ that shouldn't have happened. But to say that every war is caused by religion is just completely false. You got to take that word every. You can say some, but the grand majority of it, I think, just comes down to ego and money.
I think you could also say that some people perverted religion.
For sure.
To hide behind.
Well, how much goodness has been done?
Hitler did
that. How much goodness has been done also by people trying to lead a spiritual life? So I think that you would be missing an awful lot.
Mm-hmm. Vince, you'd know a lot more about this having deployed. But my understanding from other men and women I know who deployed, they would say that if there are any true believers, like the jihadist, it's not the leaders. Like, these are basically, it's basically like the mafia. And it's just a really convenient thing to motivate people to do these crazy things.
Right.
But that, and one of them was a Muslim talking to me saying, I don't believe for a second that these guys are really believe what they're saying. Mm-hmm. It's a method to get someone to do something.
I don't know if you saw this. I saw a clip somebody made of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So he said calling ISIS, you know, a representative of Islam is like calling the KKK a representative of Christianity.
Or Westboro Baptist Church. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that.
So it's... Yeah.
So a couple of these other ones. What does the rabbi think about the historical case for Jesus and his resurrection and divinity?
Yikes.
I love it.
There's 3 minutes left.
I know. Wow.
So real quick.
They're coming.
Look, just say bull crap and move on.
I don't know what's meant by historical. I mean, there was
Did he live?
There was a small group of people that claimed that that occurred. And so I don't really know.
Yeah.
You know, we say that when the Torah was given, it was given to the entire nation. And all the entire nation of Jewish people all together. And I don't know if to say that because I don't know of that, that the claim is, I think, that in front of a small group of people. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if to say that.
I think it would be a weird plan. I just said this the other day. If your plan was, I'm going to base everything around this small group of people. They're my chosen people, literally. And then I'm going to give them their Mashiach that they've been waiting for. But they're going to be the only people that really refuse him. And then thousands of years are going to go by, and they're still just going to be wandering in the dark because they missed the boat. Mm-hmm. That's the beliefs of Christianity. I get it, but that's a weird plan. It's a weird story. Does that make sense? He just pointed at Vince.
I'm not sure I'm following. So maybe.
Well, it just seems like the big narrative.
Uh-huh.
If that seems like a weird way to do it. Like, I have these chosen people. These are my mofos right here, but they're not going to accept my incarnate son, and it's thousands of years are going to go by, and my chosen people are just lost. That seems weird to me.
Man, I hope God said, these are my mofos.
it depends on the translation.
That's the New American Edition, I think, or something.
I definitely can see why that...
I mean, I was brought up that... The Jews were looking for a conqueror, and they wanted a strong man. But Jesus was a peaceful man, and that's why they said no to him. Very simplistic.
Yeah, they're looking for, you know, the Messiah to come in, open up a can against Rome.
Right.
Bring peace, the temple secure, Israel secure, and right, that's kind of,
yeah, I mean, yeah. The Messiah was meant to, I have to say, not necessarily through war. At that time, there were rebels that rebelled against the rabbis, the Brionium, that they burned the storehouses and did all sorts of terrible things. But the idea was that the Messiah, what his job is to ultimately return the Jewish people and to bring all of humanity around God.
And again, in Judaism, the Messiah is not a supernatural figure.
No, the Messiah is a leader. Moses was a Messiah. Messiah means Mashiach. It means the appointed or anointed
David.
One. David. And so it's a leader. And the idea of the Messiah is, in Judaism, is more about the period of time than the actual person himself. It's more about a time when people will come. You know, it's the last of the prophets says that there'll be a hunger in the end of days, but it won't be for food and drink. It'll be for God. And so that desire will be satiated, and Jewish people and non-Jewish people will serve God together. Yeah. It's hard to imagine, but it will.
Again,
happen.
We have like a minute left, but I have to ask this. There's no doubt the world is becoming less religious. Just the statistics don't lie. Mm-hmm. Does that fit into your stories and narrative? Like, yeah, that's what I would expect. That before it gets better, it's going to get worse.
I don't think the world is getting less religious. The Western Christianity, for sure. You know, we're going to be hearing a lot about African Christianity, South American Christianity, Asian Christianity. Western Christianity, for sure, is lowering in numbers. But, you know, that's the thing about Christianity. We don't have, like, we can't narrow it down to one place because it is worldwide. So I would argue that worldwide it's not dropping, but for sure here in America, North America, it is. And I do have a really important question because we are getting that. Yes. I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
It's really important.
Okay.
What's a dude got to do to get on the Bigfoot expedition with you guys?
Well, I guess we do need a clergyman, don't we?
We could use a little divine.
I mean, yeah. If you'd see my classroom, my students, I mean, they know that I love Bigfoot. And okay. I got a little sign in my classroom that says, Bigfoot doesn't believe in you either. So, yeah.
So, Christ City Church, if people want to come see you?
Just check us out online. And we're around.
Okay. Aish Sator.
Come go to our website, Aish St. Louis.
Looking at his phone.
Yeah.
Typical
I'm looking
rabbi.
Up something for you.
Okay. Then I'll take that. All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.